Good afternoon and welcome. This is Mike Moody along with Jeff Buckles and Mark Beebe. Turn to 2 Timothy chapter 2 as we continue our study through this week in this particular chapter. Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Father, we come into your presence with joyful hearts and thankful hearts that we that know Christ can rejoice in that, knowing that our eternal destiny is secure in him. Father, we thank you that our Savior died on the cross for our sins. That he was willing and able, the one who knew no sin was made sin for us. Father, this one, this Lord Jesus, was willing to pay for our sins. Father, when we were without strength, Christ died for us. So we just give him all the honor and the glory and the praise, and we ask that you might lead us as we study this scripture. And we ask it in Christ's name. Amen. If you're with us consistently with this Bible study program, you would notice that, of course, we go from week to week, one week in one particular book of the New Testament normally, with one of the brethren in this ministry. Next brother would take his study in another book, and so on as we rotate the three of us. So there's a variety of study. Sometimes the week would emphasize the gospel itself and salvation more. Sometimes we may be looking at the practical area of the believer and his walk. Sometimes we may be looking at the person of Christ. It really depends on and is dictated by the passage before us. As we're looking to systematically teach the different books that the Lord puts upon us, upon our hearts, right now we're focusing mainly upon the New Testament epistles. But as the Lord leads, we're going to study a variety of books in the Word of God. 2 Timothy chapter 2. This week, again, we're looking at the eight descriptions of a believer and their duties and their exhortations here in chapter 2 of 2 Timothy. We looked yesterday at a workman. And verse 15 reads, "Be diligent," or study, "to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." Let us look at the word workman. The word workman. Now, when we look at the word in the original, in the Greek, the word is defined as a toiler, someone that toils. That would fit in quite well in a few minutes when we look at some of the verses. We see some 16 times this word is found in the New Testament. We see 10 times it's the word laborer. 6 times the word workman, as we have here in our portion. We see in Matthew, we see it mentioned in 3 different stories in the Gospel of Matthew, with a parallel passage in Luke covering a couple of those that's in Matthew. We see it in the book of Luke also. We see it in the book of Acts, and so on through the epistles. But let's look at some in the book of Matthew. If you would turn to Matthew, just to get a working knowledge of this word workman, Matthew chapter 9, verse 35. "And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them, because they were faint. They fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. They said unto him," his disciples, "the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest." The word laborer, there is the word also for workman. Here, speaking of the harvest, truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. We know today that it is the Lord through his word, and the Lord by his convicting power of his spirit is still saving souls, is still seeking lost men and women and children. We see the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. We know that some will plant and some will water, but God gives the increase. but are you a laborer in his field? Now, we could also turn to Matthew chapter 10 and look at verse 5. Here, as it just mentioned in verses 2 to 4, the 12 apostles, it says in verse 2. Now, verse 5, these 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, go not into the way of the Gentiles, and into any city of the Samaritans enter ye not, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And as ye go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils, freely ye have received, freely give. Provide neither gold, nor silver, nor brass in your purses, nor scrip for your journey, neither two coats, neither shoes, nor yet staves, for the workman is worthy of his hire, of his meat. Here again, verse 10, the workman is worthy of his meat. Turn also to see the word workman in Luke chapter 13, verse 25. When once the master of the house has risen up and hath shut to the door, and you begin to stand without and to knock at the door, saying, Lord, Lord, open unto us. And he shall answer and say unto you, I know you not whence you are. Then shall you begin to say, we have eaten and drunk in thy presence, and thou hast taught in our streets. But he shall say, I tell you, I know you not whence ye are. Depart from me, all ye workers of iniquity. Now here, as it says, workers of iniquity, there's the word for workmen. But here it's in a negative sense. It's a toller of iniquity. Someone that works iniquity. And of course there, if you go on, it speaks of, there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth, and ye shall see Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, and you yourselves thrust out. So we see in a negative sense of the word workman, a toller of iniquity. If you would, turn on to 2 Corinthians. And turn to chapter 11. We're going to pick up at verse 13. For such are false prophets, deceitful workers, there we go, deceitful tollers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ, and no marvel, for Satan itself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. But here again, the negative sense of the word is workers. Deceitful tollers, to toll, deceit. If we back up to chapter 11, verse 2, for I am jealous over you with godly jealousy, for I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ, but I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. So we see here, as it mentions, Satan throughout chapter 11 is someone that deceives, someone who beguiles through subtlety. And we see the mention of deceitful workers. The word worker is what we're looking for, is workmen. And, if you will, 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 17, let the elders that rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially they who labor in the word and doctrine. For the scripture saith, thou shalt not muzzle the ox that treadeth out the corn, and the laborer is worthy of his reward. The word laborer is the word for workman. The laborer is worthy of his reward. So here we've done a little bit of a New Testament word study of the word workman. Also, you could find it in Philippians chapter 3 and Acts 19, James 5, it tells that particular one, James, tells about the rich being warned. Again, a negative sense of the word of workmen. We see the scripture tells us about workmen that are diligent in the things of God, yet it contrasts it with workers or tollers of iniquity. But in 2 Timothy 2:15, we're told to be diligent to show thyself or present thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed. Now, when we think of someone that is a workman, and they're being diligent. Why? We say because the scripture says here to show thyself, to present thyself approved unto God. If we turn back to 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 verse 4, but as we were allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel, even so we speak, not as pleasing men, but God, which trieth our hearts. My friend, as we study this in our portion in 2 Timothy, we must keep in mind that we will be presenting ourselves before the living God. Be diligent to present thyself approved unto God. We're not out to be approved by the world and its standards. We're not out to be approved by men and their standards. But we must present ourselves approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. Now also, we could turn back to 2 Corinthians, and this time chapter 5. We're going to look at verse 9. Wherefore we labor, and whether present or absent, we may be accepted of him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Of course, in context, this is speaking of the believers going, that we must all go before the judgment seat of Christ. That which has been done in our bodies, good or bad, in our life as a believer. One more scripture in Colossians. Let's look this time at chapter 3. We see in verse 24, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ, that he that doeth wrong shall receive for the wrong which he hath done, and there is no respect of persons. So as we, some year ago, looked at the book of Colossians, may we keep in mind that whatsoever ye do, do it heartily, as to the Lord, and not unto men. We'll give account unto the Lord one day. We'll present ourselves to him. May we be approved unto God, not a castaway in the sense of our service, not our eternal destiny, but may we be approved and not disapproved as a workman, as a servant of the one who paid for our sin. It's been noted that when we were saved, we were not saved by debt. We had debt beforehand, but we do not carry that debt into the Christian walk. Yet, out of love, we should serve him. Love for the one who paid for our sins. Yes, we had a great debt as a lost person. We come into this world shaping an iniquity in our mother's womb, as David noted in Psalm 51. We were born sinners, and we proved it by sinning in our life. We had a debt we could not pay. Christ paid the debt he did not owe. So we're saved by grace through faith in Christ alone. He paid our debt. But yet, as a Christian, our service should not be out of the thought of the debt. It should be out of the acknowledgement of our love for the one who paid for our sin debt, past tense. So as we are told to be diligent to present ourselves approved unto God, first we should serve him for his name's sake, for our love for him, also for the fact that we will give account to him one day at the Bema Seat. But primarily we should serve him because of his name, for his name's sake, and then also for the fact of our time to stand before him and give account as a believer as well. Now we think of chapter 2 verse 15, when we get into the last part of the verse, when it speaks of rightly dividing the word of truth, Lord willing, we'll look at that tomorrow and have a little time to cover that with perhaps some study help from the Word of God. This is Mike Moody along with Jeff Buckles and Mark Beebe, the Two Roads and Two Destinies Radio Ministry.